I'm going to turn a little bit more this way so I can get everybody in my field of view. Before I get started, I wanted to share with you guys, Brittany sent me a text before I came tonight, and she sent, "Just praying for you, and want to let you know I'm praying that the Holy Spirit talks tonight and not you." And I said, "Thanks, babe, that's a load off." So it's kind of nice. So hopefully things will work out a little bit better. My voice has been kind of in and out all week. I've been doing a lot of, as we coaches like to call it, loudly encouraging the boys. So that's kind of happening. And then this east wind thing's got my sinuses all messed up. So bear with me as far as my voice goes. But let's go to God in prayer. Dear God, just thank you for this day. And just please be with me tonight as I'm sharing your truth, God, and help it to be your words and not mine. Please just let the Holy Spirit fall on me, God, and use me as a mouthpiece, God, and let me get out of the way and not say what I want to say, but what you do, God, and what the people that have shown up tonight need to hear, God, and just help us to be encouraged and in our day-to-day walk, God, and as we go about work and school, to just be loving and just share your glory, God, with the people around us. It's in your name I pray. Amen. All right. Well, when Dave came up and asked me to speak, I said, "Hey, do you have any topics you want me to talk about?" And unlike Mike, who is talking about the dreaded open topic, he had a nice big list, so I had a lot of things to kind of work with. But I was looking down all the lists, and some of them were more, I guess, general faith, belief, things like that, love. But one of them stuck out to me. It said Christian ethics, and I don't know why it stuck out to me. I guess maybe other than the Holy Spirit wanted me to talk on this, but I kind of go, "Oh, that seems like kind of a..." I don't know exactly what I would say about that. So we hear the word ethics a lot, but we kind of just gloss over it and don't really pay attention to the details, the nitty-gritty of what exactly ethics are. I mean, I, as an engineer, when I went to school, I had to take a course in engineering ethics. And basically, we have to make it safe, obviously. We can't rip people off, so we don't want to build this airplane that's going to fall apart as soon as they buy it, or it's after a year it's going to give up and die. We want to make it so it's worth their money. Okay, so that's ethical behavior, making it better for the other person, not just doing what's best for yourself. I looked up the definition, and there were a few that that worked out, but this one particularly stuck out to me. When talking about Christian ethics, it said dealing with values relating to human conduct with respect to the rightness and wrongness of certain actions, and to the goodness and badness of the motives and ends to such actions. So kind of what I draw out of there is actions and motives. Those are the two words that kind of stuck out to me: actions and motives. So I was thinking to myself, why, as Christians, why do we do what we do? And I kind of just thought about the general, what drives us as Christians to go out and do good deeds, to go give to the poor, to worship God, to give of our time and our money. So I put together a little list, and I kind of want to talk to you guys about the different things that drive us, why we do what we do. So the first thing is what I call the checklist. Checklist Christian. Okay, so we go down, we have this list of laws. Okay, you can go through the Old Testament and you can find tons of laws. Okay, most everybody knows about the Ten Commandments. Okay, I can go down this checklist and say, okay, don't kill. Okay, got that one. Check. Haven't killed anybody. We're good. Okay, so honor thy father and mother. Okay, sometimes I do a good job, sometimes I don't. Okay, don't have any idols. Okay, I think about this whenever I remember as a kid thinking, don't have any idols. Okay, I'm thinking, okay, this microphone, oh, worship the microphone. Okay, we're not talking about your little monkey statue or something like that necessarily. Okay, although that definitely falls into the category. But, I mean, what is our idol? We talked about a little bit this morning about idols. We talked about the Toby brought us a lesson and talked about the rich young ruler, okay? And Jesus called him to give up all his money and his possessions. And that wasn't about him necessarily giving up. It's not necessarily telling us, hey, go out and give all your stuff away. Go sell it all and give all the money away. That was that young man's idol, okay? So we can go down this checklist and say, okay, am I doing a good job? Am I doing a bad job? It's easy to see the results of my actions. It's easy to say, see if I'm on the right track. It's black and white. We see this a lot of times. A lot of times students go up to the teacher, what do I have to do to get an A? Okay, and they hand them a syllabus. Say, here, do this, 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 and this. You do work hard on your homework, you get an A. All right, we're good. What do I have to do to get a raise? Okay, that's a common one too. Or how do I get a promotion? How do I get a job? Okay, those are all valid questions, and we can go through and we can say, okay, well, if you make your resume look really nice, okay, you do this, you can get a job, okay? And we know that doesn't always work out. I want to turn to Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to be verses 14 through... I'm going to read through 16a, and I'll get to my point in a second. Okay, Matthew 5, 14 through 16a. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. Okay, so that's the 16a part. Okay, so let your good deeds shine out for all to see, okay? And if we stop there, it's just like, okay, do these good deeds, okay? Let everybody see your good deeds. Okay, here's your checklist. Go for it, all right? There's the world. Don't kill anybody. Honor your parents. You're good to go, all right? But it doesn't stop there, does it? It says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Okay, so the purpose of that is not that they can see Dave and say, oh, what an awesome guy Dave is, okay? Or what an awesome guy Thomas is, okay? It doesn't work like that. We want to do good deeds so that God is glorified through all those things. So let's continue on. It says, don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets, okay? So we're not getting rid of those laws. It says, no, I came to accomplish their purpose, okay? And that's important, their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear in its purpose until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And I read that part and I go, oh, wow. Okay, so I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so I have to be more righteous than these guys that memorized all those rules and followed them to a T. Okay, so we'll come back to that in a little bit, but that's just real important. So there's another point. Is comparison and fear of judgment. Okay, so we already talked about the checklist, Christian. So we have comparison to others is another common thing we like to do. We like to feel better. We go, okay, as long as I'm doing better than so-and-so, okay, as long as I'm doing better than my dad, I'm okay, okay? As long as I'm better than him, we're doing all right. I must be okay, okay? And that kind of goes hand-in-hand with fear of judgment, okay? So depending on what day it is, okay, I may be going, okay, I'm doing all right. I'm doing better than so-and-so. I'm good. Okay, you may be on the other end of the spectrum and say, oh, man, I'm so afraid that I'm just messing up royally and I'm not making these rules. Okay, there's these rules. It kind of goes back to the checklist. Okay, I'm so scared about that. I'm so afraid I'm not as good. I'm not doing as good as my dad. Okay, so there's that flip side. Okay, it's a double-edged sword. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 23, and we're going to continue on talking about those Pharisees. So remember we said, okay, unless you're better than these, unless you're more righteous than these Pharisees and lawbreakers, you will never see the kingdom of heaven. Okay, Matthew 23 through 28. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and you Pharisees. Okay, so the exact group we were just talking about. Hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Blind guides, you strain your water so you won't accidentally swallow a gnat, but you swallow a camel. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and the outside will become clean too. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like the whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly you look like righteous people, but inwardly your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. Okay, so I think it's kind of ironic when you look at this. These are the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, and they're being called, they're being told they're filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. Okay, so we go through this, we go, okay, these guys are supposed to be the guys that can compare themselves to everybody else and say, I follow more laws than you, I'm way better. You probably don't even know all the laws. I know all the laws and I follow them to a T. I tithe the tenth of everything I have. Okay, I go through, can you imagine going through your spice cabinet and taking every little jar out and taking a tenth of that and sacrificing it to God? Okay, that's how in detail they were to the law. Okay, if anyone could say, according to the law, I'm doing better than you, so I must be doing okay. Okay, it was the Pharisees, but Jesus just totally reamed them and said, you're hypocrites. You ignore the point of the law. Okay, and we're gonna get into that a little bit more later about the point of laws. So now on to that fear of judgment. Okay, where we're talking about being so worried about not fulfilling that, not living up to that, or being worse than somebody else. Okay, so we're going to go to 1 John chapter 4. Oops. Sometimes it eludes me. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 19. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And all who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love and live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid of the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. Okay, so we go on to see that God's love expels that fear. Okay, we don't need to fear judgment. Okay, we don't need to worry that we're not as good as somebody else because God sent Jesus to die for our sins. Okay? He first loved us. One of the common things that comes up when you you talk about ethics, okay, and I'm sure everyone's heard of this statement. The ends justify the means, okay? So we think about that. A lot of times we like to rationalize what we do. We say, oh, that in and of itself would be wrong, but you want to know what? In the end, it works out, okay? I sped to work today, so, I mean, I know that's against the law, but I got there, it was so I could get on time so I wouldn't get fired, so I could provide food for my family, okay? So we see how we can bend laws and we can disobey, we can use that as an excuse to disobey the law. But we're forgetting the heart of the law. Why are those speed limits there? It's for safety, okay? It's so you have enough time to stop so you don't hit that guy that's walking across the crosswalk. You don't hit that kid on the bike, okay? There's rationale to everything, okay? So what about this, okay? So if we're trying to earn our way into heaven, okay, we go about if we do anything to get into heaven, okay, if we're following all those rules, okay, like the Pharisees, okay, they're doing all the right things to get into heaven, okay, but are their means really justifying what they're doing? Okay, so let's look at Romans chapter 10, verse 4. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. Okay, so you remember what we were talking about earlier, about that purpose. Okay, for Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. Okay, so Jesus has already accomplished that purpose. The end has already come. Okay, you are saved when you believe. Okay, when you believe that that's what Jesus has done for you. Okay, so if the ends are already accomplished, what does that mean for the means? It kind of twists everything backwards, doesn't it? So how does that mean? What does that mean for us as we live our lives as Christians? So let's read Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 11, and find out what that is. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we are still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. Okay, so while we were still enemies, God did this for us. He sent Jesus for us. Okay? So now that we know, okay, the ends are already here, it's finished, that's completed. Now what matters is the means, okay? The end is already finished, so now how do we act, okay? And why do we act? If the end is already accomplished, what are we trying to accomplish with our means? It's an outpouring of what's already been done for us, okay? So if Jesus died for us while we were still enemies, shouldn't that make us want to die for our enemies? Shouldn't we want to lay down our lives? Shouldn't we want to give of ourselves? Okay? Our outpouring is not something that we feel obligated to do. It's not some checklist. Okay? It's not to be better than the other person. It's because we can't do anything else because we're so filled with God's love. Because of what he's done for us. And what does that mean for us? Okay? A lot of times we hear about all these rules. I know when I worked at the aquatic center, it was like we always had these kids running around. I feel like I never stopped saying, walk, walk, don't run, stop, slow down, any of those things, okay? There's all these rules, and the kids are always like, there's so many rules. No jeans in the pool, no running, don't jump in the shallow end head first. Okay? So there's all these rules. And we're so worried about following the rules. Okay? There's reasons behind all of those, each and every one of those rules. Okay? You don't wear jeans in the pool because it's heavy, and if you're not a very good swimmer, you might drown. You dive in head first, you're bound to get Dane Bramage. Okay? There's all these different rules. No running because you might slip and fall. Okay? There's all these rules. But if we're not worried about the rules, we're worried about being safe. Okay, if the kid comes in and he's like, okay, I'm going to be safe. Okay? I probably shouldn't dive in there because I might hurt myself. Okay? I probably should go a little slow because it's probably slippery right there. Okay? If he's thinking about his safety, we wouldn't have those rules. Okay? So what I'm trying to get at is we have freedom. Okay? Because we've been freed from those rules. Okay? And like we said, it says, we're not here to abolish the law, okay? That doesn't mean all of a sudden you can go out and kill somebody and it's all good, okay? That's not what I'm saying at all. But if we're acting out of love because we've been shown love, you're not going to go out and kill somebody because that's not a very loving thing to do. I mean, let's just be honest, okay? You have freedom, okay? We're not trapped by rules and obligations, okay? You should feel free in that love. Okay. So I want to challenge you guys this week. As you go about your daily business, whether it's at work or school, okay? Don't be nice to that guy in the cubicle across the way or in that desk next to you because you think, oh, that's what Jesus says to do. Okay? Do it because you love that person. Okay? And it may be hard. It will be hard. Okay? Sometimes you want the guy sitting next to you is your best friend. Okay? I know how that works if the teacher lets you choose your own seating. Okay? But sometimes it's going to be hard. Sometimes they're going to be obnoxious. Sometimes they're going to be crude. Sometimes they're going to be unloving. You know what? To be honest, you may be really nice to them, and they may still totally be a jerk to you. Okay? But you need to love them as another soul, as someone that God created and loves just as much as you. It's crazy. Okay? But that's why God's awesome. He's just a little bit crazy. Anyways. Crazy for us. Let's close in a prayer. Dear God, just thank you for everything, God, for people being here, for people giving of their time. And just help us to love people, God. To love as you love. And I know that's hard for us. One, because they're not perfect, and two, because we're not perfect. And that's just a kind of a messy combination, God, but you've poured so much out on us, so much love, so much grace, God, just in everything that we do daily to disobey you. Please just help us to even be able to take a little bit of that and bend that outward onto the people in our lives, God. It's in your name I pray. Amen.